Welcome everyone to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. It's so great to see all of you. Welcome. My apologies for needing to cancel last minute last week, but my dad is well and home. So very happy about that. Tonight, we will be reading part 24 in the Manual for Teachers. It's called Is Reincarnation True or Is Reincarnation So? Depending on which book you have. And if you just want to find your way to that now, so you're all set when we are going to read, it is page 1639 in the purple book and page 60 in FIP. Again, section 24 in the manual, is reincarnation true or is reincarnation so? Before we do that, though, I just want to pause here for a moment. Most everybody knows this news at this point. I did send out an email, but in case you didn't see that email, I just wanted to spend a few minutes just to share some big news, some bittersweet news. And you all know that I've been here showing up weekly for over 10 years, which is amazing to me. We started in December 2011. And you all have heard me talk here and there about the big changes that I've been experiencing over the past year. And I've had this growing feeling that things might be changing. And so sure enough, I do have the calling. I have heard the call to step down from leading the study group after 10 years. And it's bittersweet. It was not an easy decision. I'd say that this decision has been in process for at least a year, that I've sort of been, you know, considering it. And it's become clear recently. So the good news that I'm really, really happy to share, and I'm so happy that Deidre is here, is that Deidre is going to pick up the torch and keep the group going for those of us who feel called to continue meeting on Sundays. And I am committed to finishing the manual. So I will be here. There's at least, I think, five more sections. So after tonight, you know, five more Sundays. But I just wanted to give, you know, a few moments. I know if you haven't heard that news, it can be big news right now. Most of you I know have had time to process that news since I sent out the email, but it's bittersweet, and I am excited, and it was scary and sad and exciting. And also, I feel really, really, really good, Deidre, for you to be continuing, you know, this work. Deidre has filled in so many times in the past and recently also. And yeah, so big changes are coming. I'm hoping this is not like, part of the reason why I wanted to email everybody in advance is to give time to process. So I think most of us know, but if there's any words or anything that anybody, you know, has questions about, feel free to ask. And otherwise we can start diving into our reading. And that's also why I emailed everybody. I didn't want to just like drop a bomb and then be like, okay, now we're going to read the book. So oh, I think we've all had time to process. So I'm happy about that. And again, I'm not just leaving. We're going to be together for at least the next 5 weeks. So do we feel ready to start reading? Awesome. Okay, great. So again, Manual for Teachers, part 24, we are going to meditate. Part 24, is reincarnation true or is reincarnation so? Page 60 in FIP, page 1639 in the CE for anybody who's just tuning in. And let's allow our eyes to close. Let's come into our period of quiet together. Of Course in Miracles says that one of the greatest gifts that God has given us is the gift of change. And yet, change can stir up a lot. We often perceive it as a step toward further separation. And yet, when we turn over our relationship to change, our feelings, our thoughts, when we turn that over to the Holy Spirit, We can come to see that we're all evolving into remembering the truth that we have never left God, the changelessness of reality, that constant that's always there behind the seeming shifting forms. So just allowing our hearts, allowing our minds to just settle and just dropping into this moment, if it's helpful to just connect with your breath, maybe placing one hand on your chest, maybe the other hand on your belly, and just sensing your breath. And connecting with this heart center, this feeling of love that's within each and every one of us. Even if it feels like we can't access it now, it's there. And for help, perhaps it's helpful imagining this entire group. If we were sitting in a circle, each of us with our eyes closed, with the same intention to drop into the love that we truly are and to remember truth, that which has actually never changed, never left. It's still there. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we gladly place Holy Spirit in charge tonight by our request. With that love in your heart and light in your mind, coming together to our perception of right here, right now. Again, welcome everyone, and welcome to those of you who have just joined us. I am so happy that you are here. We are going to read in the Manual for Teachers, part 24 is Reincarnation True, page 1639 in the CE, page 60 in FIP. Let's go ahead and dive right in. I have to just begin by saying that this is one of the sections that has been, I remember even early on in my journey as a course student, finding this section and the upcoming sections really helpful in terms of helping with healing anxiety. So let's dive in. Is reincarnation true? In the ultimate sense, reincarnation is impossible. There is no past nor future, and the idea of birth into a body has no meaning, either once or many times. Reincarnation cannot then be true in any real sense. Our only question should be, is the concept helpful? And that depends, of course, on what it is used for.
If it is used to strengthen the recognition of the eternal nature of life, it is helpful indeed. Is any other question about it really useful in lighting up the way? Like many other beliefs, it can be bitterly misused. At least, such misuse offers preoccupation and perhaps pride in the past. At worst, it induces inertia in the present. In between, many kinds of folly are possible. So let's pause and take it one paragraph at a time. So in the ultimate sense, reincarnation is impossible because, as it says, there is no past or future. The idea of birth into a body has no meaning. I love how it says either once or many times, which obviously includes right now, that we think we're in these bodies, but a birth into a body has no true meaning, be it once or be it many times. So in at the level of reality, when we are not dreaming, we are and always, that is changeless and forever and ever and eternal. And in that level, the idea of reincarnation is just impossible. It's not necessary or needed because nothing's being born and nothing's dying. Here, however, we have to ask ourselves, is the concept helpful? If you tend to be the type that perhaps can get very preoccupied with what maybe your past lives were, and are they influencing you now, and what were they, and were you a person of note, or did you do terrible things? Like, it can just create a lot of ego noise and be used to divert us from the work that we are asked to do now. If, on the other hand, it's used to help assure us that life is eternal, that it goes on, that this body is not who I truly am, that I did not begin with my birth and I will not end with seemingly transitioning out of the body, it can be helpful then when we think about it reinforcing the idea of the eternal nature of life, which is beautiful. So, again, we can either get completely preoccupied by, we can get completely preoccupied by it, or allow it to help reinforce all it is that we are learning and the fact that life is eternal. It cannot comprise a birth and a death, because reality is always and forever. Anybody want to chime right in? Let's
real briefly, Corinne.
Oh, sure. Hi, Scott.
You know, in the CE edition, the purple book, there's a lot of stories in there about Helen and how Jesus told her the story about, you know, she was a scribe, she was a priestess, etc. And those are all, I think, examples of what he's talking about when it might be helpful, because they were all helpful to her in explaining why she was the one chosen to be the scribe for the course. Otherwise, you know, I've spent time and money on past life regressions that left me in nothing but a present state of inertia. I won't be doing it again.
Scott, thank you for adding that. That's absolutely a point that I am glad that you brought up, because I wanted to go there, that Jesus tells Helen about her past lives. And interestingly, so I want to share a little story. I was going to share this later, but it feels like now is the time. 3 years ago, maybe four, somewhere around then, I was in a deep state of conflict in a relationship that had been a long-standing, deep-seated conflict in this relationship, like lifelong. And I was asked by another family member, why has this been such a difficult relationship? Like, why have I acted the way that I've acted throughout my life in this particular relationship? And it stumped me, because this feelings that I've had about this relationship had been there since birth. They had been there forever. And my mind kind of felt a little bit stunned. Like, I don't know why. And I had this feeling come over me
It was because this person reminded me of my guilt. The reason I often would push this person away is because they reminded me of my guilt. That didn't make any sense to me. I didn't know what that was. And there's so much detail that I'm not going to get into, but I will just say that this really, I was in a deadlock, like an actual impasse in this particular relationship. And when I had that thought, because, you know, this relationship, it reminds me of my guilt and I didn't know what that meant. I was in my living room and I'll never forget this. What happened was that it felt as if suddenly a curtain lifted up. Now I did not see anything with my body's eyes. This instead was more like a knowing that brought pictures to mind, almost like a distant memory, but it, not even as a memory. It was even like thinner than that. It was like this knowing, but it came almost as a sensation or an experience of a curtain lifting, seeing a scene from a past life that in which I was a parent and this other family member was my child in this other lifetime. And in that lifetime, I hurt that child terribly. And I may have shared this in previous study group calls, but then the curtain felt like it came back down and I was left in my living room stunned. I collapsed into tears and it opened my heart to this relationship in a way that had never happened before. Suddenly things transpired and suddenly I felt like I could love again from a very deep place that felt blocked before. And right after that, I open A Course in Miracles and I want to read you what I read. This is from, it's in, let me just see here. I have this in the CE. It's on page 220 in the CE. And I think it's from Helen's notes. So I don't think it, I know it's not in the FIP edition and I am not sure about the Ur text, but I want to read this to you. And you know what? Let me just see real quick if I can pop this into the chat, because if I can, you could read along. Nope. I don't know why Zoom has not been letting me copy and paste into the chat. How about I share my screen in case anybody wants to read along? Let me do that. Sometimes it's easier for those of us who are visual. Can we see this? Yes, okay. This is what I open to. It says, the soul has no history, being the same today, the same yesterday, today, and always. The history of a split mind is not a constructive focus for those who are being trained in an integrated and true concept of themselves. I am quite willing to tell you about your past when it no longer is of any interest to your ego. I want to read this one more time. I am quite willing to tell you about your past when it no longer is of any interest to your ego and if it is of help to someone else. Otherwise, it would be much better to devote yourself to knowing God. I once told you that the atonement will not be complete until all the children of God have come home. We do not care about where they have been or what they have done. We would not want to evaluate their past any more than we want to evaluate them. It goes on to say, it is almost impossible for the mind to look at some past life readings totally without judgment of any kind. For instance, they often relate a bodily condition to the past, even when they affirm that the mind is the builder. Their emphasis on gains and losses is not to be yours. These terms are evaluative and therefore in variance with the goals of your course. The main sentence that I wanted to highlight was earlier, this one. Jesus says, I'm quite willing to tell you about your past when it no longer is of any interest to your ego and if it is of help to someone else. I'm going to stop sharing. This to me was, and I literally read this, like I think either that same day or the next day, that this experience that I had of Jesus showing me part of my past was used because it wasn't of interest to my ego and it was being used to help this relationship, to help this lifelong challenge that has been present in this relationship. And it helped me remove a block that I had in my heart. So I wanted to share that just as another example of how learning about, or being open, I should say, and learning perhaps about a past life could be useful, not to be dwelled upon, not to be a reason for a present issue if we are, you know, dwelling on it too much, but that it will be shown to us if we need it, if it would be of no use to our ego and helpful to a relationship or helpful to us or to someone else. So thank you for listening. Sue, I see your hand. You're on mute. Oh, still muted. Are you able to unmute?
Yes, there I am.
There we go.
Yeah, I was responding to Scott's, what he was saying, but wow, what you said, you were shown that I think it is wise not to go after these things on your own because maybe you aren't necessarily meant to know those things and they can mess with your mind. I had a past life reading. I was tortured, you know, because they thought I was a witch because I was doing all kinds of things that were helping people. And it could have been that one of the men that was torturing was my father of this life. Well, that was not beneficial for me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That was not beneficial for me. And the reader said that you would often bring up guilt in him because subconsciously so I'm confused. Do they happen or do they not? I mean, are they parallel lives that we're really living now and just influencing? So I see that confuses me.
So is your question, are there past lives or are they parallel?
Are there? Because, Murdad wrote a book called The Heart of the Course in Miracles.
Uh-huh.
And he said that Ellen had this tremendous love for Jesus that she didn't understand and had a great resistance to writing down the course, the two things, and she couldn't reconcile the two. Mm-hmm. And Jesus told her that when she was an Essene, she loved him. And she agreed at some point to do this. And he came to her a lifetime earlier than he normally, it was scheduled to happen because of the alarming situation on Earth.
Right, like the celestial speed up.
So I just get two different, I agree with the thing because, you know, what good is a past life if you don't know who you are?
Now,
you know, if you don't know who you are, the essential I, what good is a past life? You're just traveling, you know, traveling and recycling adventures is all right. You're doing. So, it's just kind of an interesting topic.
It is. And it can be a rabbit hole. And like the course says that it doesn't take a stand. So ultimately that's what we're going to be reading in this whole section is that it's not taking a stand. If it's a useful concept, then it's useful and recognize that it can also be quite the ego rabbit hole to get caught in.
Yes.
So past or parallel, you know, I don't know. My personal feeling has always been that it seems like this idea of parallel, everything happening all at once makes kind of sense
kind
to
of
me.
Sense. Yes.
But has it worked? I don't know. You know, I don't know that anybody can truly answer that question.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what we're getting to basically is that the course just doesn't take a stand on it either way because it's not a necessary thing to take a stand on to learn this curriculum because we can get very, very sidetracked.
Yes.
And at the same time, so thank you so much, Sue, for your comment. Also, you know, again, you had that experience and you know that like that wasn't helpful for you. And so that might not be something that you don't want to do again. Since I had this experience, there have been a couple of other experiences where it's either come to me or I've been doing work with a practitioner, not so much in a past life regression per se, but that other things have come up that have been helpful. So if we feel called to explore it, we just have to ask ourselves, you know, why? Like, what is it that I'm hoping will come of this? What is it for? Like that question that the course always prompts us to ask, what is it for? And, you know, to do it with the Holy Spirit and recognize, you know, that this can absolutely be an ego rabbit hole, or it can be, you know, used to help us recognize that life does not begin at birth and it does not end with death. So thank you so much, Sue, for sharing.
Well, great answer, Corinne. Great. That's good.
Thank you. Well, again, this is what the course is saying with just not taking that stance. Were there any other hands? I feel like I saw another hand. I'm not sure. Dave.
I was just going to say that it looks like paragraph two is probably got a really good answer for this question also.
Yay. So, let's go.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's do it. Thank you, Dave.
Sure.
Okay. Paragraph number two. Here we go. Yeah, this is a great answer. Reincarnation would not, under any circumstances, be the problem to be dealt with now. If it were responsible for some of the difficulties the individual faces now, his task would still be only to escape from them now. If he is laying the groundwork for a future life, he can still work out his salvation only now. To some, there may be comfort in the concept, and if it heartens them, its value is self-evident. It is certain, however, that the way to salvation can be found by those who believe in reincarnation and by those who do not. The idea cannot, therefore, be regarded as essential to the curriculum. There is always some risk in seeing the present in terms of the past. There is always some good in any thought which strengthens the idea that life and the body are not the same. I love that sentence. There's always some good in any thought which strengthens the idea that life and the body are not the same. So thank you for that prompt, Dave. That does give us a beautiful answer that it's not a problem to be dealt with now. Even if it were responsible for some of the difficulties, the task still would be to escape, you know, to look at things, to have a choice in the now, and anything that we're concerned about for a future life. Again, it's all about now. So it's pretty clear that the course is bringing us back to the present over and over in that paragraph. Questions, comments, Paula?
Oh, could you talk a little bit about that, the idea that life and the body are not the same?
Oh, I love that sentence. Yeah, sure. And Sue, would you mind muting? I don't want to have to mute you. I'm not afraid. I don't want to block you from unmuting later. Okay, thank you. So Paula, that sentence, there's always some good in any thought which strengthens the idea that life and the body are not the same. I'll give you an example. I would love to, let me think of how I want to say this. Years ago, I'd been a vegetarian for 12 years and I became actually, ill because my body was not pulling protein out of food anymore. So under doctor's orders, I had to start eating some animal protein again. And I was very upset about it. And I had an experience of Jesus coming to me, not in form, but again, in thought, in knowing, in claircognizance. And he said, you cannot take away life. Meaning, yeah, I see. You just went, meaning that like the body, you know, the body, we equate it with life. We think we're alive right now. This is not life. Life has gone on despite us dreaming, and it continues to go on. So I think of myself as alive right now, but I'm actually sleeping. You know, I'm actually perceiving and not knowing. You know, I'm in perception, not the realm of knowledge. So life and the body are not, this isn't our true life. This isn't life. And I don't say that as I'm always careful with how that sounds, because to wake up to life does not mean by ending the body, like, you know, by ending our lives or anything like that. By coming into life, it's through this work that we're doing here now. It's through this mind training that we're doing now, this choosing now, and this learning now about how we do not walk alone. That's how perceptually our perception almost starts to, the way that I experience it is that like it expands and expands. And as Anita Morjani beautifully described it in one of her books, when she had her death experience or her near-death experience, it was as if she was in a warehouse and suddenly it's like you're looking around. Our life is like looking around with a flashlight beam. We only see what's in front of the flashlight. Suddenly it was as if the whole warehouse was illuminated. Somebody turned on the grand light and she could see everything. That was a taste, I think, of life beyond the body, but it's actually not what we are perceiving. So does that make sense?
That is the best answer anybody could possibly give. Thank you so much.
Glad that was helpful.
Excellent.
I'm glad that was helpful. I love Anita Morjani's visual also. She's also described it. Actually, I have on a scarf. She also described it as like a tapestry and how there's all different threads in a tapestry, and our one life here, we have a perception of like one thread of the beautiful, intricate tapestry. And when we are opening our not the body's eyes, but like, you know, when we are opening to true life, there's that awareness of the whole, the awareness of the entire tapestry, not just this one little thread that we are aware of right now.
You can't kill life.
Mm-mm. You cannot destroy life. Still struggle with that one. but yeah, that's what came through at that time. Oh, Sue.
Can I just talk real shortly about the gift that I was given at my mother's funeral?
Oh, sure.
Okay. I like to tell that when somebody asks about that. I don't know why, but I was given this gift. She died in 2020. I was getting ready to go to the funeral. I had to drive to get there. I was being elevated to a sense of joy that I did not know where it was coming from. I just felt like I was being carried. It felt like, you know, when Jesus talks in the Course about, you know, you walk lightly and all your care, I didn't have any cares about anything. It didn't come from me. It was just amazing that I was packing my suitcase without any thought whatsoever. I'll need this on. Anyway, I'm just, the state of being was incredible. Driving there, it got greater and greater. Got to the family, my sister's home where family was gathered. And I thought, well, maybe this is it, that we're all together. But it wasn't that. Went to the funeral. The funeral was joyous. I have the state of mind that existed was this absolute love that permeated, was like the air that we breathed. Everyone was hugging and loving, and there was no sense of separation. It was like we were having, no, and the Bible talks about the great wedding feast. And that's what it felt like. Like we were all had come together at this great reunion or something. But anyway, the luncheon was downstairs. We came back upstairs to view the body. My mother's body was in the casket. I had no interest in her casket, in her body. it was like when people have near-death experiences, I've said, they say that, you know, it just didn't have any whatever for me. It just was not drawn to it. It was like, that's not my mother. That I didn't even, I don't think I even thought those words. Anyway, I sat down next to my sister. And every once in a while, I'd look over and I started to giggle. I started to giggle to myself and I thought, I've got to stop this or I'm going to laugh out loud. But the sense of, I've told you this before, Corinne, this is a joke. This whole thing is a joke. We don't die. My mother's not dead. This is truly a movie. This is like a movie. We're all playing our parts and doing our thing. Everybody knew the same thing I did, but they weren't aware that they knew it at that point. But it was unreal. That's it. And it was like, life is now. Life is not when you get to heaven. Life is not in the past. Life, it is now. And it is eternal now. The eternal now is right now. Mm. That's, I wish I could go back there because it was awesome.
Awesome. Oh, Sue.
Yeah.
Sue, thank you for sharing that gift with us. That was absolutely beautiful. You know, you reminded me of the, I haven't thought about this in quite some time. We all remember Siskel and Ebert, the movie critics and Roger Ebert. When he was making his transition, he was in and out of consciousness. And at one point when he opened his eyes, he said to his wife, "This is all an elaborate hoax." And she thought he was like maybe taking too many medication, you know, there was his medicine, like and she realized that he was beginning his transition at that point and seeing and was able to state that this is all an elaborate hoax. So you saying that, you know, this is all a big joke, your words.
Well, it's just like a movie. The kingdom of God is here. As people, and Jesus said, and people see it not, and men see it not. It's here. Yeah. And that state, I don't know how I got into that state of joy and acceptance and like, that guy was being carried. Everything was being done for me. It was like another, it wasn't me. It was What?
That was your mother.
Do you think?
Or it's not what you,
that was your mother.
It's not what you did to get there. It's what you didn't do. You know, you stopped blocking. You didn't interfere.
I did not interfere. I just said, thank you. Thank you, whatever is happening here. The thing is, people get, so I'm like, oh, I'm a little bit afraid. I'm a little bit afraid to go. I'm telling you, folks, when you get a little taste of that, fear can't exist in that state. You just want more and more and more. You just say, pour it on. There is no fear here.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Sue. That was really helpful. Really, really lovely to hear. Let's read. You're getting some hearts. I see some hearts on the screen. let's read the next paragraph. I'm aware of the time. I want to make sure that we have enough time to finish out this section. So we're on paragraph 3, I think, right? I feel like this could be one of those nights where if we don't get intentional about finishing, we could just talk the whole time after just two paragraphs. So here we go. Paragraph number 3. For our purposes, it would not be helpful to take any definite stand on reincarnation. A teacher of God should be as helpful to those who believe in it as to those who do not. If a definite stand on it were required of him, it would merely limit his usefulness as well as his own decision-making. Our course is not concerned with any concept that is not acceptable to anyone, regardless of his formal beliefs. His ego will be enough for him to cope with, and it is not the part of wisdom to add sectarian controversies to his burdens.
nor would there, I'm sorry, that line is just so funny, nor would there be an advantage in his premature acceptance of the course merely because it advocates a long-held belief of his own. I'm just going to read paragraph number 4 also. It cannot be it cannot be too strongly emphasized that this course aims at a complete reversal of thought. When this is finally accomplished, issues such as the validity of reincarnation become meaningless. Until then, they are likely to be merely controversial. The teacher of God is therefore wise to step away from all such questions, for he has much to teach and learn apart from them. He should both learn and teach that theoretical issues but waste time, draining it away from its appointed purpose. If there are aspects to any concept or belief that will be helpful, he will be told about it. He will also be told how to use it. What more need he know? We'll pause there. So I'm just going back to where Jesus' sense of humor pours through when he says his ego will be enough for him to cope with. I mean, isn't that so true? So it's clear in this reading that, you know, the course is not taking a stand. We should, as teachers of God, be as helpful to anybody, regardless of their belief on the matter. And if there are aspects to any concept or belief like reincarnation that will be helpful, he will be told. For instance, I feel like I've been told that it is absolutely helpful to talk about it in the sense that it really helps reduce fear in my experience. This is one of those teachings early on that I really held on to as a concept that helped me tap into the feeling that life does not begin at birth and it does not end at death. And that was very reassuring to me because my fears of death were so strong. Anything coming up for anybody? Sentences with Andrea.
Well, hi. I keep getting this little whisper to share something that is helpful for me. I don't know if it's helpful for anyone else.
I'm sure it will be. Go for it.
Thanks. I always, when I'm struggling with some of these concepts, I think of life here on Earth as being like a giant stage play. And we are all actors wearing costumes. Our costumes look like human bodies and personalities and egos. And we're actors because our real self is pure love. And that's all we do. But sometimes we go into this stage play in roles that look like villains or extras or all these different things because we're just, you know, playing. And so like on the concept of reincarnation, it doesn't really matter if me actor was playing an earlier role as some other character in the stage play. And then I went off stage and then I came back in, same actor, different role. Doesn't really matter to the role that me actor is the character that I'm playing right this second. If I played a couple other characters, it's sort of meaningless. It's not worth what I'm hearing in this from Jesus is it's not worth talking about like which actor played which role in that past scene. Because what we really want to be focused on right now is who we are being right now and the opportunity to be loving with one another, which is the real truth of who we are. And like, that's the whole point of the stage play is to learn how to get to enjoy loving each other in this sort of physical way.
Right. I love that, Andrea. That's super helpful. I know it was helpful for me. I'm sure it was helpful for other people. Thank you so much for sharing that. I appreciate that. It's so, yeah. So the whole purpose is to come to recognize that we're acting, not which roles that we played in the past. Thank you, Andrea. Cheryl, then John.
Hello.
Hi.
I have kind of a different experience to share. And that is that from childhood, from the point of childhood, I always thought that I was supposed to be a psychologist. And I mean, to the point where I felt like I was a psychologist. I mean, like, I felt like I already was, that I just needed to go and get the paper saying, you know, excuse me. And I also have always had a personality to where I always take on the role of being a teacher. No matter what job I've had in my life, I've always been assigned teaching the new people. So, you know, so anyway, I got gifted with a gift certificate for something that was called angel therapy. I don't know. I'm wondering if Deidre, if you've ever heard of that. Yeah. Okay, cool. So anyway, I went to this angel therapy and I had no idea what to expect. It was so life-changing for me for so many reasons, but I won't go into all of those. I will stick with the reincarnation part of it, which was that this woman told me that I was in my past life a psychologist or a psychiatrist, one of those, and that I was also a teacher in another life, and both times I was male. And which those three things made so much sense to me, because I always just from childhood thought that I was a psychologist. And also my whole life, I'm 56, so I have never needed to rely on a man. And I always thought it was because my mom brought me up that way, to not rely on men. You know, like, if there's something broke, I will fix it myself. If I need something done, I do it myself. I'm just like, and I'm just this, you know, tiny little, you know, girl, and I've never relied on men. And I think that that has something to do with the fact that I was male in my past two lives. But the psychologist thing, so here's where it makes a lot of sense. The next level for me is I always thought that I was supposed to go to school and become a psychologist again. And I realized when I was told that I wasn't supposed to go become a psychologist. I wasn't supposed to devote my life to becoming a psychologist, because the only reason why I felt like one was because I was one in the past, but I didn't need to become one now. And that really opened things up for me to just focus on spirituality, because that was like where my true passion was. And so I put aside the psychology just to pursue spirituality and theology. Mm-hmm. And so I devoted my life in studying theology of all different types. And I landed on A Course in Miracles, and where theology and psychology intersect. And so I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. So knowing that stuff about the past life was significant for me.
And an affirmation for yeah. now, right? And yeah, that's how this could be helpful.
Mm-hmm. I was able to just let go of what I always thought, oh man, I'm really screwing up. I was supposed to go be a psychologist and I never did it. Mm-hmm. And then once I found out that I was before, I was like, oh, I'm not supposed to do that now. I'm supposed to be doing what I'm doing.
That's a beautiful example to show how doing something like that, like learning something about a past life, can help you let go of a belief now, helps let go of a block now, helps you move forward now. So that's how it can be a very, very positive
that's
experience.
And I've had to share it.
Thank you.
It was significant for me in that way.
I can relate to that very much, very, yeah. very much. Thank you, Cheryl. Thank you so much for bringing that in. I appreciate that. John, and then I think Stephanie had her hand up.
I just wanted to comment on what Andrea said about life being a play. And just like here, when we are in a play, doesn't matter whether you're the hero or the villain or an expert or whatever. After the play, we all get together and we celebrate. Right. I was like, oh, that was a great play. Let's have a party now.
So, that's, that Awesome, John. Thank you. I love that. I love that. Thank you so much. Was there another, Stephanie, did you have your hands up?
Yeah, I did. I wanted to comment on the play thing too.
Oh, go for it.
It's like, wow, that's such a cool way to even think about life in general, like that we don't have to take everything so seriously. Mm-hmm. Because it's just a role we're playing. And then also we don't have to get so mad at other people for playing the villain because they're just playing their role too, right? Like, just like you wouldn't get mad at, you know, The Rock for playing a bad guy, right? You wouldn't get mad at you know, the actor.
Right.
That role. So that was helpful for me.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you. Thank you. Beautiful. You know, actually, I just wanted to come back. I had another thought before too, that I wanted to bring in. Let me just see if I can retrieve it. What just came up for the moment that I just wanted to add too, is that we also have to be aware of what the ego can do with using these teachings to check out, meaning the ego will be like, oh, I like what I shared before about what Jesus told me in that particular context of like, you cannot take away life, which is true. And then the ego can take that and say, oh, well, that means I don't have to care about anything. I can, you know, do whatever I want to do, treat other beings however they get treated, whatever. And it causes us to go into a place of completely checking out and forgetting that the primary definition of a miracle is that they are expressions of love. And we are here to be loving miracle workers. I think I shared this with you all. I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself, but I had one of the experiences that has unfolded over the past year has been having the experience of the earth itself being a being, like a spiritual being in and of itself. And therefore, and I've always wanted to tread lightly and gently and lovingly upon the earth, but that experience really reinforced that for me. And it was so funny because the other day an article was shared on Facebook and it was, astrobiologists suggest the earth itself may be an intelligent entity. I just started laughing. So for instance, like I'm still not okay with factory farming. Like there's still things that are I'm just not okay with that. That I don't want to use teachings to check out is basically just what I'm saying. So just keep in mind that definition that miracles are expressions of love, and Jesus did not come here and just hold his mind at the truth and just be la-di-da-di-da. He did not do that. He flipped tables and he, you know, went against the norm and he healed people and he did, you know, he had slips into impatience. He was an active miracle worker. And it says in the course that he needs our eyes and our ears and our hands to do the same, you know, to be active miracle workers, to be active members of his party. So we need to be listening the whole time for what it is that he is prompting us to do, where he is prompting us to go and what he's prompting us to say. So I wanted to add that. Thank you, Stephanie. Jason.
I just wanted to add that my motivation in doing my best, even though awakening is inevitable, mm-hmm. is I don't want to do this again. I want to just be done with it. I'm one and done, man. No encores. I'm retiring after this lifetime. I'm just going to go into the light. And that's it.
Oh, Jason, that's so funny. But no encores. I love that. You know, I just want to throw something out there. Because I've absolutely 100% had that exact same feeling. And then John Mark Stroud, I don't know if you all, I did a podcast with him. You might know him from the podcast. He's a spiritual teacher and I don't know what he's up to lately. I haven't kept in too close of contact, but he said, Corinne, you graduate when you see no harm in coming or going. And I was like, oh, damn, like, you know, want to get it right this time. And I get what he's saying and I get it more now than ever that because literally this doesn't change reality because it is a dream. What if God asked you herself to come here to do something very specific in a lifetime? Would we not immediately, you know, want to say yes? So that idea of we graduate when we see no harm in coming or going, when it's like we see the world for the neutral thing that it is. I just wanted to throw that out there because that was really helpful for me to chew on along the way. So thank you again, Jason. That was great. We have two paragraphs left. Let's read paragraph number 5. Does this mean that the teacher of God should not believe in reincarnation himself or discuss it with others who do? Certainly not. If he does believe in reincarnation, it would be a mistake for him to renounce the belief unless his internal teacher so advised. And this is most unlikely. He might be advised that he is misusing the belief in some way that is detrimental to his pupil's advance or his own. Reinterpretation would then be recommended because it would be necessary. All that must be recognized, however, is that birth was not the beginning and death is not the end. Yet even this much is not required of the beginner. He need merely accept the idea that what he understands is not necessarily all there is to learn. His journey has begun. The emphasis of this course always remains the same. It is at this moment that complete salvation is offered you, and it is at this moment that you can accept it. This is still your one responsibility. Atonement might be equated with total escape from the past and total lack of interest in the future. Heaven is here. There is nowhere else. Heaven is now. There is no other time. No teaching that does not lead to this is of concern to God's teachers. All beliefs will point to this if properly interpreted. In this sense, it can be said that their truth lies in their usefulness. All beliefs that lead to progress should be honored. This is the sole criterion this course requires. No more than this is necessary. I love that sentence. I have it underlined. All beliefs that lead to progress should be honored. And that reminds me to come back to a place of humility that the course is one path of many. And whatever path another is on, all beliefs that lead to progress should be honored. So,
what page were we on?
I'm sorry?
What page? I came in late. I'm sorry.
1641. No problem. And if you have the purple book, 1641 and page 61 in the FIP.
Thank you.
You're welcome. yes. So I also want to highlight the sentence. It was at the very end of paragraph number 5. It says, however, birth is not the beginning. Death is not the end yet. Even this much is not required of the beginner. He need merely accept the idea that what he understands is not necessarily all there is to learn. So in other words, the thought that what I understand, there's more, you know, there's much more to the story. This was a key thing for me in what has been transpiring over the past, really, I guess, since July, when I had my first experience of the Black Madonna, was this sentence applied to the course itself, meaning that what I think I understand about A Course in Miracles is not necessarily all there is to learn. So Corinne's understanding of a spiritual pathway can actually be a block to the experience, to the direct experience of God, that if I can hold everything lightly and be willing to even hand over what I think I know about spirituality, what I think I, you know, what it sounds so funny to say, what Corinne thinks she knows about God, like that just feels so funny to me, that if I can let that go, I can then open myself to having an experience, to being shown, to God showing himself, him, herself to me, to having an experience with Jesus, to having some other types of spiritual experiences that I couldn't have planned or comprehended or thought up and made happen if I tried and tried and tried. So this openness, having open-mindedness, one of those characteristics of the teachers of God earlier in the manual, is one of those characteristics that can be so helpful for us on our journey, when we can keep our minds open and recognize that what we understand is not all there is to learn. There is much, much more. So, I'm just looking at the chat. Scott wrote, the body is no more than a biological machine. It works for a while and then eventually quits functioning. Aliveness comes from God and therefore never ends. I love that. Steve, yes, tell us about your event. We have time. Go for it if you will. Where are you? Is Steve still here?
Hello, hello.
There you are.
February 22nd, 2022 is Full of Angel number 2. So let me read a little something that I'd like to post to the Facebook group, and I'm going to post in some other places as well. So it starts out like this. Hi, everyone. So February 22nd, 2022 at 2022 GMT, which would be 2:22 California time in the afternoon, marks the third annual Pause for the Cause event. Pause for the Cause, also known as P4K, a mass moment of silence, prayer, or meditation, if you will, to last for only 2 seconds, maybe 22 seconds, or maybe even 22 minutes. However long one could safely hold a quiet moment wherever they were, whatever they were doing, period. In the beginning, this idea came as a subtle nudge from spirit, like a brick in the head, and was based on the moment of silence held at every 12-step recovery meeting I've ever attended, where the alcoholic or addict that still suffers in and out of recovery is held in reverence. But as this idea evolved, it became evident that this moment of silence could be used for providing love and support energetically to anyone and everyone that was suffering in some sort of pain, trauma, disease, or disaster in their lives or in the lives of someone they know or don't even know. But more importantly, this love and support was being uploaded into the collective for immediate download for every human being on the planet to receive without even asking, bringing light and love to all who receive and share. Now let us fast forward to today, with all the trauma and drama that has occurred in the recent past, plus current world events and all the negative energies and information we are bombarded with. Let us collectively take this moment to look inside to ourself, capital S, for the peace and joy we all long for. Very simply, all we have to do is give ourselves permission to put a smile on our faces by holding whatever is near and dear to our hearts. We all know deep inside what brings us joy. We all have a picture in our mind what the world could look like. We all have something or someone to be grateful for. We all have a favorite smell or taste. We all have that perfect image of happiness. We all have that divine spark of love we can give to another. We all have the power to hold peace in our minds and in our hearts. So let's do our part and imagine just for a moment that which we hold near and dear to our hearts, and let the power of creation bring love to the world. Please share if you care, and let's imagine 20 people joining in, maybe 200, how about 2,000, how about 2 million, maybe even 2 billion. There is no limit to the power of love. Remember, we are all made of love, by love, for love. And then says, imagination is everything. It is a preview of life's coming attractions. That's by Albert Einstein. And from the song Imagine by John Lennon, imagine all the people living a life in peace. Yoo-hoo-hoo. And then there's another link to a YouTube channel for the angel number 2. So I don't know if we could all do that.
So 2:22, so February 22nd.
Yep.
I love the numbers, 2:22:22, and at 2:22 Pacific.
Yeah, or 2:22 GMT.
Got it.
Or 22 seconds, 22 minutes, whatever you can spare.
I'll definitely pause for the cause. You know, that's awesome. Yeah,
yeah. Collectively, we can change the world with this kind of stuff, I think.
Yes, 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 yes.
Thank you. Yes, can I post it to your Facebook group?
Absolutely. Go for it, please.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you
for the night's reading.
Of course. Thank you.
And what was the YouTube channel?
What?
What was the YouTube channel?
Oh, I've got the link. I don't know if I can post it in the chat.
If you can post it in the chat, that'd be great to everybody. Okay. And you can post it in the Facebook group too. And I heard another voice. Who did I hear?
Can I just take 5 seconds to say, and anyone that wants to join with me, is I just want to send blessings to Corinne and to Deidre and say that my heart is with you for this change. Just many blessings.
Thank you. Thank you, Cheryl. That means a lot to me. It means so much. And I've just received all the love and the blessings and the feedback from everyone, both energetically in my inbox. Cheryl, through you, thank you. Just thank you so much. And I don't know what to say, except that I feel it. I feel it. So thank you. Thank you, Cheryl. Lots of love, lots and lots of love. And I'm glad to just be here with you all for the next 5 weeks. So as we finish up the manual. All right, have a great night, everyone. I love you all and see you next week. Bye, everyone.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Bye. Good night. Bye-bye.